Chapter 14, that we should seek the verdict of our conscience in every decision. While we should strive for spiritual perfection of mind, purity, and peace in God, it will be found to be not a little beneficial to this that we should return quietly into the inner secret place of the mind in the face of everything said, thought, or done to us. There, withdrawn from everything else and completely recollected within ourselves, we can place ourselves in the knowledge of the truth before us and undoubtedly discover and understand that it does us absolutely no good, and rather the contrary, when we are praised or honored by others, while we recognize by the knowledge of the truth about ourselves within that we are blameworthy and guilty. And just as nothing is any help if externally people praise someone if his conscience internally accuses him, in the same way, on the contrary, it does a man no harm to be despised, maligned, or persecuted when he remains internally just as innocent, blameless, and without fault. On the contrary, he has all the more good reason to rejoice in the Lord with patience, in peace, and silence. After all, no adversity can do any harm where evil is not in control. And just as no evil goes unpunished, so no good goes unrewarded. Nor should we wish a reward with hypocrites, or expect and receive profit from men, but from the Lord God alone, not in the present, but in the future, and not in fleeting time, but in eternity. It is clear, therefore, that nothing is greater and nothing better than to enter into the inner secret place of the mind always and in every tribulation and occurrence, and there to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself, our helper in temptations and tribulations, and to humble ourselves there by confession of sin, and praise God and Father himself, the giver of correction and the giver of consolation. Above all, one should accept everything, in general and individually, in oneself or in others, agreeable or disagreeable, with a prompt and confident spirit, as coming from the hand of his infallible providence, or the order he has arranged. This attitude will lead to the forgiveness of our sins, and deliverance from bitterness, and enjoyment of joy and security, the outpouring of grace and mercy, introduction and establishment into a close relationship with God, abundant enjoyment of his presence, and firm cleaving and union with him. But let us not copy those who, from hypocrisy and Phariseeism, want to appear better and different from what they are, and to make a better impression and appearance before men of being something special than they know in truth inside to be so. For it is absolute madness to seek, hunger for, and aspire to human praise or renown from oneself or others, when one is in spite of it all inwardly full of cravings and serious faults. And certainly the good things we have talked about above will flee him who chases such vanities, and he will merely bring disgrace on himself. So always keep your faults and your own incapacity before your eyes, and know yourself, so that you can be humbled and not try to avoid being held as the lowest, vilest, and most abject scum by everyone when you are aware of the grave sins and serious faults in yourself. For which reason, consider yourself compared to others as dross to gold, weeds to the wheat, chaff to the grain, a wolf to the sheep, Satan to the children of God. And do not seek to be respected by others and given precedence before others, but rather flee with all your heart and soul the poison of this disease, the venom of praise, the concern for boasting and vanity, lest, as the prophet says, the wicked is praised in his own heart's desires, Psalm 10:4. And Isaiah, they who speak good of you deceive you and destroy the way of your feet, Isaiah 3:12. And the Lord in Luke, woe to you when men speak well of you, Luke 6:26. End of chapter 14.